You can be turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 8, and I'll catch up with you in just a few moments. Some of you by now, that is by the time we get to this service, may be wondering, what's the deal with discipleship? I preached on it last Sunday morning and last Sunday night. I preached it on it Wednesday night and then again Sunday morning. And you might be wondering, what is the deal with all of this discipleship? When you read through the Bible, you'll find that the Lord called men that He referred to as disciples. Out of those disciples who followed Him and learned from Him and were devoted to Him, He also set aside the 12 that He called apostles because He sent them forth with power and authority and in a special ministry, in the foundational ministry of the church. And so, when you read through the Bible, the issue of discipleship comes up over and over again. As you read through the Gospels and the book of Acts, you'll see that the disciples stand out from the pages of the Bible. They stand out throughout the entire New Testament. We find that the disciple named Peter stands out throughout the entire New Testament as well as the others. And we find that the Apostle Luke seems to capture this theme of discipleship in the Gospel of Luke. And it becomes a theme in this Gospel. And he carries it through to the book of Acts as well. This theme of being disciples of discipleship. Somebody that is a learner. Somebody who is a devoted follower, a devoted pupil, someone devoted to another. That's the idea of being a disciple. And when you read through the Bible and you begin to consider what the Bible says about discipleship, begin to answer the question, what is the deal with discipleship? We have found so far in the services that you have to deal with the call. That is, that our Lord called those who became His disciples. And we looked at that when we looked at the call of Peter and Andrew and of James and John in Matthew chapter number 4. Those who are really His disciples are called to become His disciples. So we dealt with the call. We also dealt with the cost. And that is, it is very clear in the New Testament, and we have to deal with passages where it says, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, for example, here in Luke chapter number 14, where He tells us that if you're not willing to forsake everything that you have, that you cannot be His disciple. Discipleship, that is really following Christ, demands real repentance and real faith. That is, Luke presents repentance as for forsaking everything to follow Christ. That's His picture for us of repentance. And indeed, that's what these disciples were doing. And that's what discipleship is. That's the cost. It's turning from everything that pertains to self and abandoning ourselves completely and totally to Him. We have to deal with the cost. We have to think about the cost and ask ourselves, am I a real disciple? And so you have to deal with the call and you have to deal with the cost. When you read through the Gospel of Luke, you got to deal with the cross. Jesus emphasized to us the very truth that indeed those who are His disciples are those who bear a cross. In Luke 14, 27, they bear the cross, they carry their cross. And we tried to discover this past Wednesday evening what it means to carry your cross or bear your cross, and how that it means death to self and the denial of self in order to carry the cross. You cannot be our Lord's disciple if you're operating on your own personal agenda, that is, according to our own selfish desires. Those who are really His disciples are those who've died to self and are denying self and of bearing a cross and following Him on a death march according to the Word of God. And so we've dealt with all of these areas. When you're dealing with the cross, you have to deal with all of these areas. And in the service this morning, we began dealing with the continuance, I said. And we looked at the call of Matthew or Levi in Luke chapter number 5. And I said to you that the words that are used there, that is the word, the command, follow me, and then the response where it says that indeed Levi followed Him, just the very tenses of the verbs, the imperative verbs that are used there, indicates that indeed He didn't just follow Him for a little while, but it became a lifestyle. It was the beginning of a following. And Levi began to follow Him. He began to follow Him and continued to follow Him. And the call of Christ was a call of continuous following. In other words, it wasn't a matter of following Christ to a certain point and then stopping. Discipleship is not following Jesus a little ways. It's following Him all the way. Listen, discipleship is not a matter of just following Jesus part of the way. It's a matter of following Jesus all the way. That is, real discipleship is the idea of continually following Him or continually being devoted to Him. That is, continually learning from Him. And we began to unpack that a little bit this morning. I said to you that those who are continuing in the way of Christ. And we looked at those verses in Luke chapter number 9 where Jesus was on the way. The Bible says He was on His way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem had steadfastly set his face towards Jerusalem. And while he was on the way to Jerusalem, there was the man who said, I'll follow you wherever you're going. He had no idea. Wherever you're going, I will follow. And Jesus made it clear to him that, listen, if he was going to follow him, his decision to follow the Lord was not going to lead to comfort. It was not going to lead to a place of rest like the foxes have holes and the birds have nests. Jesus had none of that, but it was going to lead indeed to poverty. It was going to lead to persecution. There would be a price to pay for those who wanted to follow him. And for that reason, some of them began to step back just a little bit. You remember the one guy who got distracted from following the Lord? Jesus said, follow me. And he indicates that he was ready to do that, but he decided that he needed to go back home and take care of daddy. Remember, he distracted, said, I got to go home and bury my father. And then the other one, he got distracted not only by a father, but by a farewell. He said, I need to go back home and tell everybody goodbye, farewell, see you later. And he said, I'll go with you as far as that. I'll go with you as far as to my family, but when it comes to my family, I'm not going to put you first. I'm not going to follow you first of all. No, indeed, I'm going to take care of daddy, and I'm going to take care of the family back home. Wouldn't put Jesus first. Reminds us of the words of our Lord that if you're not willing to put him above mother and father and brothers and sisters, the language that is used in Luke 14 is that of hating them. The idea is not to hate them with animosity, but to love them less than you love him. To put him first above all others. I know that's hard for us to get our arms around. It's hard for us to get a hold of this very truth. And the reason why is because we're so used to putting everything else ahead of God in most of our lives, whether it be family or other issues and things that are so important to us. But ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus is going to be Lord of our life, we're going to be his disciples, he's got to be first place above everyone and everything else. Amen? And so he in Luke 9, he talks about continuing in the way of Christ. Well, this evening I'm going to continue to think about this deal with continuance. We've got to deal with it. You can't be a follower of Jesus and be a quitter. You can't be a follower of Jesus and just go part of the way and then stop. You've got to go all the way with the Lord. And not only do we continue in the way of Christ, but I want to speak to you about continuing in the Word of Christ. Continuing in the Word of Christ. Now I tell you that these folks who we are reading about in the Gospel of Luke, they were hearing the Word of Christ. They were hearing what he was teaching. They not only were observing his ways, but they were hearing his Word. For example, and I'll get there to Luke 8 in just a minute, but notice with me back in Luke chapter number 4 for just a moment or two. I want you just to notice that they're hearing what Jesus is saying. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 22, the Bible says, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? He was in his hometown of Nazareth and was telling them that he's the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, where the prophecy was that the Messiah would have the fullness of the Holy Spirit upon him. And he said that he was the fulfillment of that. And he began to explain to them that he was the fulfillment of that passage. And they were all amazed at what Jesus had said. I tell you that they were hearing what Jesus was saying. In Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 32, the Bible says there that they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power or with authority. Jesus spoke with authority. The idea of speaking with authority had nothing to do with the tone of his voice or how loud he preached. It means that what Jesus said was true just because he said it. And he presented the truth that way. As it was truth equal to what the Old Testament scriptures revealed is what the Lord was saying. He presented his word as with authority, and they were absolutely amazed at the power of his word, the authority by which he was teaching the Bible. See, they were hearing what Jesus was saying. Notice verse 36 of that same chapter. The Bible says, after he cast a demon out, the Bible says in verse 36, they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? Amen. Oh, what a word it is. Yeah, I mean, for with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Here's what that means. As you read through the Gospel of Luke, the Bible is telling us that everybody was talking about the fact, well, Jesus, the power of his word. All Jesus had to do was just speak, and demons began to flee. The power and the authority of his word. They were hearing what Jesus was saying. But listen to me now. I want you to hold on to your hat. Well, you don't have a hat on, so just hold on. Listen to me now. Real discipleship is more than just hearing. His Word. If that was all it was, if it was just a matter of hearing the Word, then all of these folks would be His disciples. But it's more than just hearing His Word. You see, those who are really His disciples continue in His Word. When we use the word continue to mean they embrace the Word. They receive the Word. They internalize the Word. They believe the Word. They rest on the Word. They follow the Word. It's not just a matter of just hearing it, but they continue in it. They had been hearing the Word, but Jesus is about to make it clear that there's more to this thing of discipleship than just hearing the Word. Those who are really disciples, they continue in the Word. You see, there are many, many people, maybe thousands, no doubt, maybe even millions of people right here in our culture and in our country who go to church on a Sunday and believe that they're following Jesus because they went to church and heard a sermon. Right? Went to church and heard the singers sing and heard the sermon preached and believe that I'm a disciple of Jesus because I heard the Word. But please understand that being a disciple is more than just hearing the Word. It is continuing in the Word. It's what we do and how we embrace and how we respond to that truth that we hear. So I want you to grab a hold of this idea for a little while this evening. I want you to notice with me right here in the Gospel of Luke, first of all, the story that Jesus told. Jesus told a story to help us understand this basic biblical truth. It's not the only place that this story is revealed to us. You'll find it in Matthew's gospel as well. But I want you to notice right here in Luke chapter number 8, Jesus tells a little story. It's a story that would be a common sight in this day. It's the story of a sower who went out to sow his seed. Look at what the Bible says here in verse 4 of Luke 8. It says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable." And here's what he said. This is a little story. The idea of a parable means that this is a story in which the objects and people in the story are symbols of something else. It's communicating a truth. And so notice what it says. "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside." That is, he's scattering his seed. Some falls by the wayside, and it was trodden down. "And the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and other fell on good ground, and it sprang up, and bare fruit, 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.'" That is, if you can understand this parable, then please pay careful attention to it. Those who are listening would understand what Jesus is talking about here, about sowing seed, spreading seed. The type of sowing that he spoke about in this story involved a narrow strip of soil that was cleaned of all rocks and weeds, and it was cultivated. And alongside those strips of cultivated soil were paths for people to walk on as they scattered their seed, most of the time by hand. And as that seed was being scattered, some of it would drop onto the wayside, onto that hardened soil where the people were walking. And as it lay there on that hardened path, it would get walked on and it would get trodden down, and a bird would eventually see it, and pretty soon it would come and eat that seed. Some of the seed that was being scattered would fall into soil that still had a lot of rock in it, not much dirt. It would fall into that soil that had not been cleaned out of all the rocks, and that seed would sprout, but instead of rooting down in the ground because of all of the rocks, it would just shoot up and grow quickly, probably quicker even than some of the other plants. But when the sun came out and became hot and the ground began to dry out, that plant would soon die. It had no root system and it would bring forth no fruit. Jesus continued to tell the story, and he said some of the seed fell into the soil that had thorns and weeds growing up in it. And those thorns and weed would choke out that seed so that it would not grow. But then Jesus said that some of that seed that was being scattered fell on the good ground. And that cultivated soil that was not full of rocks, it wasn't full of weeds and thorns, and that seed rooted down, and it sprouted up. And when the heat came and the ground began to dry out, it didn't stop growing, it kept growing, and when the harvest time came, that particular plant had fruit on it, that is, it bore fruit. 100-fold, the Bible says, which is a large amount of fruit. When Jesus got done telling the story, he said, "He that hath the ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, Jesus is saying, those of you that are listening to me need to understand what I'm saying, if you're able. Most of them couldn't understand what he was saying, and that's why he spoke it in parables. Folks, it's hard to imagine, but it's true. Jesus didn't want everybody to understand what he was saying, just those who were his disciples. He was trying to get them to understand the truth of this story. And so he begins to reveal to them what it is that this symbolism meant, what it is the story, what it is it meant. First of all, he tells us that the seed is the Word of God. Notice verse 11. Now the parable is this. Here it is. The seed is the Word of God. And so the sowing of the seed symbolizes the spreading of the Word of God. That is, that's what our Lord came to do. John the Baptist had been spreading the word, hadn't he? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus had been spreading the word, the Bible says. The apostles, he sent them out to also spread the word. He does it in Luke's gospel, as well as the other gospel accounts. He's sending them out to spread the word, while we as believers today as well are the ones who've been sent out to spread or to share the word of God. The word of God is being sown, and that's what this seed is a symbol of. Folks, it's important for you and I to know that the kingdom of Christ, that is, his kingdom, is not growing through political conquest, but through the sharing of the word. The means by which our Lord's kingdom grows is through the sharing of the word of God. It's also important to know that as the word is being spread, not everybody is going to respond to it. Not everybody's going to receive it. Many people are going to hear it, just like they were hearing it in its day, but a lot of people will not continue in it. They will not respond to it. As a matter of fact, most will not, according to this parable. And the difference between those who receive the word, who continue in the word, and those who don't continue in the word is the condition of their heart. You see, the seed is the word, but the soil is a picture of the heart. Just like that farmer's seed fell on the soil, even so the word that is being spread by our Lord, it also is being heard by individuals, as we looked at in Luke chapter number 4, and they're hearing the word. And how they respond to the word, or whether they continue in the word, depends on the condition of their hearts. That is, what kind of heart they have. What's really in their heart. There's four different kinds of soil that are revealed here. There is what I would call the hardened heart. That is, there's the soil that is hardened, that path, that wayside that I said where the seed falls onto that hardened ground, that path that people walk on, and it can't root down because the ground's so hard, and pretty soon the bird comes and takes it away. And Jesus says here, indeed, that's a picture of the hardened heart. Look at verse number 12. Those by the wayside are those that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. There are those who hear the word, but listen, they don't continue in it. As a matter of fact, these are those who don't continue in the word at all. They just hear it, and it doesn't go any farther than that. They hear it, but they don't care. They hear it, but they're not open to it. That just lays there in their heart. They don't understand it in the sense they don't receive it. They don't turn to Christ. They don't even care about listening to it. I mean, maybe you've tried to witness to somebody like that. I know that none of you probably are like this, but I tell you, maybe you've tried to talk to somebody. Listen, here's the expression I've used before. I tried to witness to that person. It was like talking to a brick wall. Amen. Some of you that go out visiting and witnessing and try to witness to family members and people you care about and knock on doors and talk to people, sometimes it's just like you're talking to a brick wall. It's folks, listen, they don't really want to hear it. That is, maybe they'll be kind to you and let you speak a few words, but they're not interested in finding out any more than what you have just said. And as soon as you're ready to leave or be quiet, they're ready for you to. They're not interested in continuing in the word. They have hardened hearts. They're those who have shallow hearts. The Bible tells us indeed in verse number 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. That is, Jesus tells us here that the seed that fell on the stony, the rocky soil, the rocky ground, where there was not much soil, the Bible says it's a symbol of those who hear the word. That is, they hear the word of God, and they immediately respond to it with much emotion and much enthusiasm. But ladies and gentlemen, it is nothing more than just an emotional, impulsive response. And that's all that it is. It's nothing more than that. It doesn't root down any deeper than that. And for a while, listen, they're like the fellow that said, I'll follow you wherever you want to go. Jesus, I am so impressed with you. And they respond immediately. They respond emotionally with great joy, the Bible says. But it doesn't amount to anything. They are not really disciples. For a little while, they'll follow him until things get a little bit rough. And until it doesn't quite go the way they thought it was going to go. Maybe until persecution begins to come. And all of a sudden then, they're no longer following Jesus. And they begin to turn back and they they begin to turn, they don't continue. They don't continue in the Word. They hear the Word. They make a decision to follow the Word, but they don't continue in the Word. And therefore, according to what we're reading here, they are not real disciples. They go back to the old life. They're like a pig that's returned, as Peter wrote about, it's like a pig that's returned to the mire, a dog that returns and eats its own vomit. That's what they are. Those who turn back. That is, they don't continue in the Word. Oh, they don't. It's not that like the hardened soil. In the hardened soil, they don't continue in the Word at all. But in the shallow soil, they don't continue in the Word very long. Not very long. And then there's the worldly heart. Look at verse 14. And they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Jesus tells us here that the seed that fell among the thorns and got choked out is a symbol or a picture of that person who hears the Word, but his heart is so worldly that it chokes out the Word. He hears the Word, maybe be impressed by the Word. Why, that's a good Word. Maybe it's like the crowd in Luke 4 that's amazed at the Word. Maybe they're saying, what a Word is this? Well, how to find out more about Jesus, how to listen to the Word more, how to find out more about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, mama calls and says, you need to do this, and work calls and you need to do that, and the banker calls and says, you need to come by, and the car breaks down and it's time to fix it. And all of a sudden, they're no longer thinking about what Jesus said. Just the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the Bible tells us in another place, chokes the Word of God out of their heart. You know what they are? They are those who heard the Word, but they didn't continue in the Word. So caught up in the things of this life, so caught up in materialism, that is so caught up in the things that money can buy. They're like the rich young ruler. Boy, he came and heard what Jesus had to say. He was so interested that he decided to take another step further, didn't he? And he came to the Lord. And he said, Lord, I'd like to know more about having eternal life. And Jesus engaged him in a conversation. And he took another step further, didn't he? He said, all these things I've kept from my youth up. And Jesus said, then here's what you need to do. You need to sell everything that you have and go give it away to the poor and come and follow me. He was telling them, listen, the same thing he said in Luke 14, you need to forsake all that you have and follow me. He was calling him to really repent, to turn to Jesus Christ completely and fully. And we know what the man did, don't we? I tell you, the deceitfulness of riches choked the Word out of his life. He had gone as far as he was going to in the Word. And the Bible says that he turned away and he left. He was sorrowful, the Bible says, because he had great possessions. And so that indeed, there's the worldly heart. And then there is the believing heart. The Bible tells us here in verse number 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the Word, keep it, the Bible says, and bring forth fruit with patience. Jesus said that his disciples here, that he said that the seed that fell on the good ground and sprouted up and grew into mature plants and brought forth fruit is a symbol of that person who hears the Word, who keeps the Word. It's the person who continues in the Word. The idea of patience there in that verse is the idea of continuance. Continues in the Word. That's right. It's the person who continues on in the Word, who receives it, who believes it, who grabs a hold of it. And like the seed there that fell into the soil, the Word takes root on the inside of them. You see, their heart's been cultivated by a work of God on the inside of them. And because they had a cultivated heart, God working on their heart, preparing it for the seed. Just like when he sent John the Baptist to prepare the Jewish people for the ministry and the message of their Messiah, sent him to prepare the soil, to prepare the way. Even so, Jesus came with the Word of the kingdom. And now there were those whose hearts were cultivated. There were those who were like the good seed that as soon as he stepped onto the scene, they knew it was him. And they believed and they received and they embraced the Word. One of them was a man named Simeon who was waiting someday. He thought God was going to let him die, but not until he had seen the Messiah. And I tell you, his heart was cultivated so that even when Jesus was just a little baby, 8 days old, he already knew he was the Messiah, held him up in his arms and gave us that great blessing that you'll find right here in Luke's gospel. Anna, that widow, was not far behind. Oh, she began to give praise to God in Luke 2 as well. You say, how did she know? Oh, she was like that good seed, ladies and gentlemen. She knew that it was Him and began to worship that finally the consolation, the salvation of Israel has finally come. By Peter and Andrew in John's Gospel, when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, their hearts were cultivated and they immediately, Andrew began to follow Him and went and found Peter. And the Bible says that he told Peter, his brother, I found the Messiah, the Christ. And indeed, Peter also believed on Him. I love Lydia in Acts 16. Oh, listen, her heart was cultivated. God was working on the inside of her, so much so that when Paul showed up in the city of Philippi in Acts 16, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says as soon as she heard the word that he was preaching, that God opened her heart. Amen. That's right. And she received Christ as Lord of her life. Why, listen, God knows how to prepare the heart, but many hearts aren't prepared. They're not. Instead, those are the hearts that are indeed worldly and hardened. And they hear the word, but they don't continue in the word. Listen, those are not disciples of our Lord. Those who are disciples are those who continue in the word. That's right. They're the ones who have hearts that embrace, receive, internalize, trust in, believe on what it is that's revealed to them through the word. I hope you've seen the story that Jesus told and realize that he's talking about those who are really his disciples are those who continue in the word. Now I want you to notice with me not only the story that Jesus told, but would you notice secondly the statement that Jesus made. Over in John chapter number 8 in John's Gospel, John records for us a unique passage that you don't find in the other Gospels. And I want you to notice with me what it is that John records for us that Jesus said. I want you to get a hold of this. Are you ready? John chapter number 8 and verse number 31. It's a passage that many of you are familiar with, but we need to be reminded of. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. That is, there were those who were saying that we believe. We've seen the miracles and we've heard what you say and we believe. But I want to remind you in John's Gospel that not everybody who says they believe really do. Remember John chapter number 2. Not everybody who says they do really do. So here's what Jesus said. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That's right. They said, we believe. And Jesus said, well, we'll find out. If you're really my disciples, then here's what will happen. You will continue in my word. And if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. You say, Pastor, why in the world would Jesus say something like that? Because you see, if he'd have been like we are today, if somebody come up and said, I believe, man, we'd have hugged him on the neck and say, praise God, you believe. That's wonderful. And Jesus, instead, he said, well, we'll find out. If you'll continue in my word, then you're really my disciples. You see, the reason why is because Jesus knew their hearts. And right here in this chapter, John is making it clear to us that while there were those who said they believed, their response to the word indicated that many of them didn't really believe. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me, look at this, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now listen, those who are continuing in the word, they'd be giving a Baptist shout right about now saying, hallelujah. Those who follow him, light instead of darkness. But notice the Pharisees therefore said unto him, here's their response, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Not true. You say you're the light of the world? Not true. Listen, they are not continuing in the word. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 33 now. That is, after Jesus said, you'll know the truth will make you free. You'd have think they'd have been shouting a Baptist shout right about then. But instead, you know what they said? Why, we're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus, I'm not sure you really know what you're talking about. Does that sound like continuing in the word? No, they're questioning. They're doubting what Jesus is saying. They don't even understand what he means. That is, they think they're free because they're Abraham's descendants. They're the Hebrews, and Jesus wasn't talking about nationality. He was talking about being set free from sin. He tells them in verse numbers 34 and 35 that what their problem is that they are slaves to sin, and if they'll continue in the word, the Son will indeed set them free, and they will be really free, free from the bondage of sin. They're not following in the word. Well, look at verse 39. Then they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. That's right. He told them the truth. And you know what they wanted to do? They were desiring to kill him. Does that sound like continuing in the word? No, that's more like turning away from the word. It's rejecting the word. Why, look at what the Bible says in verse number 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Or that is, why don't you understand what I'm telling you? Even because you cannot hear my word. Your ears are all stopped up and you can't hear my word. And here's the reason why. Verse 44, you're of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. That is, he did not continue. That word abode, by the way, in John's gospel, John writes a lot about abiding. Abiding in Christ, abiding in him. And here he talks about abiding in the truth. It's the same concept as continuing in the truth. The devil, he said, did not continue in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. And he said, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Does it sound like that they were really believing? No, indeed. They were not disciples at all. Verse 52, notice what it says. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. They've gotten to the point now that they're even saying Jesus is possessed by a demon. Notice how this thing ends in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now that's a statement they just could not believe. Jesus is saying, if you'll continue in my words, you're really my disciples. But what he is saying has gone too far. They were willing to go up to this point. But now Jesus is going too far. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was the I am that the Old Testament that Moses met before Abraham. Are you telling me you're the I am? Well, look at verse 59. They took up stones and cast at him. Their purpose was to stone him to death, ladies and gentlemen. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus miraculously escaped their attempt to kill him. Here's what I want to get you to see from this passage. When Jesus says to those Jews who say that they believe on him, if you'll continue in my word, you'll really be my disciples. It's evidence from this whole passage of Scripture that those who profess to believe on him only went so far. They only went so far. They didn't continue in the word. Therefore, they were not, and gave evidence that they were not really his disciples. Oh, we see the statement that Jesus made. I want you to see the samples that Jesus gave. When you get to John chapter number 6, if we turn back a couple of chapters, Jesus gave a sampling of what it looks like to continue in the Word and not continue in His Word. Let me set the context for you, and then we'll look at the verses, verse 66. Jesus just got done feeding the 5,000 here in John chapter number 6. Listen. Little barley loaves of bread and some fish, and Jesus fed the multitude. After he got done feeding them in verses 14 and 15, that crowd decided we're going to make Jesus our king. Well, listen, if you and I would have been there in John chapter number 6, we'd have thought the whole crowd got saved. Well, we would have. Most Baptists would have thought the whole crowd got saved, and the reason why, because they want to make Jesus their king. Well, the only reason why they want to make Jesus their king is because of the miracles they had seen and the food that they'd eaten. That's what it was. It was an emotional response that had no root, as we saw in the parable. And Jesus knew it, and he broke the crowd up. As a matter of fact, if you followed in the chronology of the Gospels, you'll find that he sent his disciples out on the Sea of Galilee, said, you guys go over to the other side. He went up into a mountain to pray for a while, ended up walking on the water and coming out to them, but he broke the whole crowd up. They went on the other side of the Sea of Galilee that night. Now, the next morning, that crowd that he had fed the day before, they got up, and like most of us who ate the wonderful meal that we had earlier today, like most of us when they got up the next morning, they were hungry again. Yeah. Ron told me a few minutes ago, he told me that he was just full. Amen. But I'll guarantee you, when that rascal gets up in the morning, he'll be scrounging around for something to eat. Amen. You know he will. Absolutely. Like all of us. looking for, well, that crowd did as well. They got up the next morning and they thought, what's for breakfast? And maybe somebody, and I'm sort of using my own imagination here, somebody said, well, there's nothing cooking. Hey, maybe Jesus can fix us another meal. Where is he at? Somebody find the Lord. And they're out looking around for him and trying to find him, checking around. Finally, after a while, everybody realizes Jesus is not here. He must be somewhere else. Somebody said, I saw the disciples get in a boat headed to the other side of Galilee. And so they go around, make the long trip. Ladies and gentlemen, they probably passed by dozens of McDonald's and made the long trip around the Sea of Galilee to find Jesus, amen, because they were hungry. And they get to the other side and they find the Lord on the other side, and Jesus says to them, he said, listen, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, why are y'all working so hard to get a little bit of food that's just going to perish? Why don't you, listen, what you need is that food that you can have that'll live eternally. You need not just the bread to put in your belly, but what you need is the bread of life. They said, Lord, give us this bread, but we will take it. And Jesus said, you know who the bread is? It's me. I am the bread of life. And he said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was too much. I mean, they were willing to follow Jesus all the way around to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Listen, if you and I, listen, if we'd have been there, we'd have said, these folks have gotten saved and they're really following Jesus. They're willing to go all the way around the Sea of Galilee to find the Lord. That's what we'd have thought. Sure we would. But they went so far. When Jesus said, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, he was using symbolism. He was talking to them about the fact that just like you receive food into your body, you're going to have to receive him, his broken body and his shed blood, to have eternal life. And as he was talking to them that way, they said, this is too far. It's too much. And do you know that that's as far as they went in the Word? They wouldn't go any farther than that. Wouldn't go any farther to be so close and yet so far away. So look at it here. If you're in John chapter number 6, notice what it says. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back. Those who were following him, listening to him, eating the food yesterday, and now followed him all the way around to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, that crowd that said that they were his disciples, they went back and walked no more with him. That's right. They would not continue. You know the reason why? Because instead of giving them a meal, he gave them a message. And the message he gave them was gone too far. And they would not continue in it. And so the Bible says that Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Don't you love this? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Simon Peter said, I'll continue in the Word. I believe you. I believe you. I believe what you're saying. And Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here with you and everything that you're saying, and I'm going to embrace it and believe it. He's willing to continue in the Word. He's a real disciple. The other crowd said that they were, but ladies and gentlemen, they reveal that they really were not. Folks, the difference between those who are real disciples and those who are not is clearly seen in their response to the Word of Christ. Those who continued in His Word as opposed to those who went back and walked no more with Him. That brings me to the last point that I'm going to speak to you about. We've seen the story that Jesus told. We looked at the statement that He made in John 8. If you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed. We've looked at this sampling that Jesus gave us, a sampling in John 6 of those who went back and would not continue in his word. Notice the servants now, the servants that Jesus inspired. As you read through the inspired writings of our Lord's servants, you'll notice an emphasis on the importance of continuing in the word. Oh, it starts right in there in the book of Acts. Luke records it for us, doesn't he? Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and talked about continuing in the Word. Notice what he writes in Acts chapter number 2, and verse 41. The day of Pentecost now heard the word of God preached. Here's what it says. Then they that gladly, notice now, received his word. They heard it, but they did more than hear. They received it. They believed it. They embraced it. The word that they heard Peter preach, and those who received his word, they were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then notice verse 42, you'll see a key word there. And they continued. There it is. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching and fellowship. You know what that crowd of folks did that got saved on the day of Pentecost? The Bible says here that they continued in the word that was being preached and taught by the apostles. That's right. Old Luke was inspired to write about continuing in the word. James was inspired to write about it. In James 1 verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. I'm going to repeat that for you. James 1 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Why Peter was inspired, I'll not take the time to read it. But Peter was so inspired that he warned in 2 Peter chapter 2, he gave a stern warning about those who turn away from the truth, who won't continue in the word. John wrote about it. He was inspired by our Lord. He also exposed those who have heard the word but did not continue in the word in 1 John chapter number 2. He said something like this, they went out from us, but it's evident they were not of us. Otherwise, they would have continued with us. What is he saying? He's saying that there were those who heard the word, who professed to be disciples, but they didn't continue. Instead, they left. They not only left the congregation, but they left the faith. They turned away from the truth, and in so doing, were revealing that they weren't real disciples at all. John warned about us, but it's Paul who nails it down when he wrote to Timothy, warning Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And I'll just paraphrase. You can read about it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse number 3 and continuing through the rest of that chapter. And I've touched on it a little bit already in some previous messages. But he warned him, Timothy, you need to stand up and command those who are in the church at Ephesus to not teach any other doctrine that's all, what's already been revealed by the apostles. He said, here's the reason why. There are some who are among you that have swerved aside. That is, they've gotten off track doctrinally. They've gotten away from the truth. They've turned to vain jangling, he called it in that passage of scripture. Empty, meaningless talk. He said some of them have made shipwreck concerning the faith. They've turned away from the faith. He names two of them at the end of the chapter, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who had abandoned the faith. Paul removed them from the fellowship, turned them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You remember that passage probably. And then he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and warns him again about those who abandon the faith and turn away from it. And I want you to see this one just before I close. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Notice what he says. Let's begin at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy, as the last days progress, things are going to get worse and worse. They're going to be more deceivers as things progress. But notice verse 14. Are you ready? You've got to see this verse. Are you ready? Everybody there? But continue thou. Timothy, you continue in the things that you've learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, there's going to be a lot of deceivers, but you continue in the word that you have learned. That's right. Why, Timothy had been hearing the word from a child. Bible says in verse 15, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he's saying you continue in that Word. Stay with the Word. Continue in the Word. And here's what will happen, Timothy. He said, listen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's divinely inspired. It's profitable. It'll help you. It'll bless you. It'll prosper you in the area of doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction of righteousness. By the way, Timothy, the last verse of this chapter, by the way, Timothy, you the man of God, if you'll stay with the Word and continue in the Word, it'll perfect you and you'll be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I paraphrase just a little bit to make my point to you. And that is that Paul's admonition to Timothy, listen, his parting words as he's getting ready to leave this life, he's saying, Timothy, continue in the Word. That's right. One of the marks of real discipleship, ladies and gentlemen, is the mark of continuance. Those who are really disciples, they continue in the way of Christ. And I'll tell you, they also continue in the Word of Christ. If you read the next chapter in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, you'll find that folks have itching ears. Yeah. That is, they want somebody to, they want teaching that scratches their ears. That is, tell me what I want to hear. They said, Timothy, you stay and stay with the Word and preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season. In other words, he's saying, don't you give in to that crowd and you preach the truth, you continue in the Word. And I want to encourage you, that's what real disciples do. They continue in the Word, believing, embracing, trusting, walking, sharing the Word of God with other people. That's a mark of real discipleship. Real disciples don't just hear the Word and walk away from it. Don't just profess to believe the Word and then not follow through. Real disciples continue in the Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth and your people. Thank you for those who have a hunger for your truth. A hunger, God, for your revelation, to know your Word and to walk in your Word, to know what you say, to embrace it, apply it, grab a hold of it, learn and grow. Father, I thank you for those who have teachable hearts, whose hearts aren't hardened with bitter attitudes. God, that aren't clouded with worldly desires, but who have a desire for the Word, those who are real disciples. We pray, Father, that you'd operate on our hearts now this evening. Those who are not saved, who've never truly come to Christ, who've never become a real follower of His, that even tonight that your Spirit might operate on those hearts and draw those individuals to yourself, that they might come to realize their desperate need to forsake everything and to follow Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.